I'm here with Dr. Kimberly Earl and Cheryl Shaw for Pet Chat.
Good morning.
Afternoon.
It's afternoon.
It is afternoon. And here we are, Pet Chat.
Here we are. And I've been told I've got to look at your badges, Cheryl.
Yeah. Do you know what they might...
So I can see some cats. Yeah. I can see some dogs. I can see fish. I can see a bird, a dove, is it?
Yep.
See a bit of everything.
There is. Well, today I'm going to be talking about pets and the choice of living in an apartment with a pet. So what you might want to consider.
Right. That sounds interesting. All right. Well, have a think about that. And also we've got $50 gift vouchers to give away to one of our callers today. So that's from Dozer and Co. at Katara. And they provide natural dog and pet food and also online services. So... And we've got Mark from New Lambton on the phone. He has a dog with bad breath and plaque on his teeth. Hello, Mark.
Hi, g'day.
Hi, what's happening?
Well, the dog seems to have really bad breath and we'd like to see how we can clean her teeth or make her breath a bit better than what it is.
Sure. And how old is your dog?
About nine.
Nine, yeah, okay. So, you or I, probably we brush our teeth once to twice a day if you're an average sort of human. Unfortunately, with dogs, most people are not brushing their teeth that often. And what happens is that the plaque that builds up on the teeth, after about 72 hours in the mouth, it starts to calcify. So it actually becomes that really hard layer of material, which we call calculus, that's stuck to the teeth. Now, unfortunately, in dogs... the calculus is made of bacteria and the detritus that bacteria produce, and that is now stuck on the teeth, and the bacteria are trapped in there between the calculus and the tooth, and often between the gum line. And then what happens is that the bacteria will track up underneath the gum line towards the roots of the teeth, and this is how we develop periodontal disease. The periodontal ligament is the ligament that holds your tooth into the socket of your jawbone. And so when we have a dog and they have a lot of plaque and calculus and they have really bad breath, what you're actually smelling most likely is the pus, unfortunately, that has formed because of the bacteria migrating up between the gum and the tooth, the periodontal ligament. And so that dog likely has periodontal disease. Now, the really only thing that's going to clean those teeth and to deal with what is potentially, teeth that have infection at the root is taking it into your veterinarian, and they will do an ultrasonic cleaning with the dog under an anesthesia, and usually they'll do a full mouth exam, take some dental x-rays, and it's quite possible that some of those teeth may need to come out. If it's a very early stage, we do what we call just a scale and polish, where we can just take the plaque and tartar off. But by the time your dog's teeth and mouth is smelling really bad, that's usually because you've got infection in around the roots of the teeth and underneath the gum line. And so there's not really anything you can do from a home care standpoint that's going to reverse that. Now, once you've had a dental, your dog's teeth have been cleaned and anything that's infected and rotten has been removed or dealt with, then you're starting from a much cleaner palate, and you can then do things like brushing, which is the best thing to do. But there's brushing, there's dental, some dental treats and foods that can be helpful. There are some in-water supplements that can be used to try to help reduce the bacterial numbers. But unfortunately, if you're already dealing with a dirty mouth, the only thing that's going to bring you back to a fresh-smelling breath and a healthy mouth really is going into your local vet and having a dental cleaning done. So that's what we would recommend. And the thing to not underestimate is that despite the fact that your dog is probably eating completely normally, these mouths are painful. If you think about how much discomfort you get when you've got a bit of gingival or gum recession around the nerve of one of your molar teeth, it's really, really painful. And dogs are just very, very stoic, and they will keep eating until the pain in their mouth is so bad that, they would literally rather die than keep eating. So, it's a painful condition. It's definitely something we're really proactive about recommending people go see their vet and get their dog's mouths looked after.
Well, that's good to know, but any idea of sort of like the cost to have that sort of thing done?
Listen, that's going to really depend on each individual vet hospital and each individual dog. And my general sort of spiel to my own clients is that it's very hard for me to give you a really accurate estimation of what we're going to be looking at until we've actually got the dog sleeping, we've got those dental x-rays down, and we know what we're dealing with in terms of do we have, half a mouth of teeth to remove or not. But I would say that you're probably, at a basic, you're probably looking in the neighborhood of about $1,000 as a minimum, and probably going up to maybe 2.5 to 3, depending on what level of work needs to be done. But it's really, really broad. Your vet, I'm sure, will be able to give you something, you know, of an estimate once you go and have a discussion with them.
Thanks very much, Cheryl.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Okay, Cheryl, did you have anything that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, yeah, I thought we might talk about pets in living in apartments. Now, it's really important. We always think about having a pet in a backyard, but we don't necessarily need to have a backyard to own a pet. Now, with apartment living, it's becoming more and more common. People are downsizing from their homes and they don't have a backyard. So that idea of having a dog is often now, oh, it's out the window. We're not going to have a dog because we don't have a backyard. But there's so many options for owning a pet, and we know that owning a pet is really good for our health. So if we think about what sort of pets would be ideal to have in an apartment, well, you can have a dog. Just because you don't have a backyard doesn't mean you can't have a dog. But you have to make sure you get the right dog that's not going to have complaints for noise, things that, you know, if a dog is reactive to bark and it's going to bark because there's noises outside, we've got to think about what type of dog would be good. So, you know, border collies, kelpies, they're just not meant to even be in a backyard, let alone an apartment.
Totally not.
No.
Yeah, no.
Because they need a big space. They really need a property to run around and use that energy that they have. So we've got to think about something that's more like a couch potato. You know, a Cavalier is ideal for living in an apartment. And they're an easy dog, aren't they, Kimberly? A lovely dog.
They're very nice. They rarely have, you know, significant behavioural problems. They are super sweet dogs, but probably not the most intelligent dog, which means that they often are very easily entertained. You know, some of our
yes.
really highly intelligent dogs, they just require so much mental stimulation and physical stimulation, but the mental stimulation, so like a couch potato dog, exactly.
Yes.
Cavalier
yep.
is really, really
yeah.
good.
The
yeah.
other one, even though it's a large breed dog, your Great Dane is really good for inside as well, because
yeah.
they tend to be very sedentary and they do like to go for a walk, which, you know, we know that when we go out walking with a dog, particularly if you've moved to a new place and you're trying to meet new people around the neighbourhood. Yep. Dogs are that essential thing that make people talk. If we were walking past each other in the street, we probably wouldn't even acknowledge one another. But yep. put a dog in the scenario
yep.
and suddenly everyone starts talking. So it's a really good way to meet and, you know, sort of meet your neighbours. So another thing is with dogs, there's so many different breeds that we can, but we need to make sure that it's a dog that isn't reactive.
Mm. Yep.
Excellent. Well, we've got Sue back on the line and she has a problem with her Pomeranian. Are you there, Sue?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
It's actually my girlfriend's dog. She is having a lot of problems with him. He's very highly strung. She has got no control over him. He's 2-year-old and he still wets inside.
Mm-hmm.
He's yapping to the point where she lives in a villa and Strata's had to come in and threaten her that she's going to go to court over it if she doesn't do anything about it.
Yep.
She's taken him to the vet and tried to have antidepressants, but she wasn't capable really of giving them to him properly.
Mm.
So that was and he was starting to get sick from it in the first couple of weeks, so he couldn't go down that path. And I'm just wondering, is there a trainer or can we get him trained or she doesn't want to rehome him because it's her companion. She lives by herself and she's a semi-disabled lady. So
I mean, there's lots of different issues here, Sue, right? So the first thing I'd always say is if the dog has been assessed by a veterinary behaviourist and is found to have anxiety, which is what we're often using our medications for, you can't train away anxiety, okay? Anxiety is a medical condition. It needs to be treated with medicines. And she may need to go back to her vet and just say, you know, what else, what other options have we got for medications other other formulations, that sort of thing that we can use. Training can go a long way, though, to do things like, so first of all, we need to make sure that this dog is getting adequate amount of exercise. And if your friend isn't able to do that, she may need to employ a walker, a dog walker, who can take the dog out twice a day for a half an hour walk. You know, exercise for a young dog, I mean, 2 years old, that dog's going to need, for the next, you know, 6 to 10 years, is going to need walking every single day. And if she's not able to do that, she's going to need to find a mechanism by which that dog's need for exercise can, you know, can be expelled. And then there's things we can do in terms of teaching the dog how to be settled in a crate. So I think employing a positive reinforcement force-free trainer is really helpful, because there are lots of things where dogs will thrive better in a situation where there's routine and things like that. But we just do need to keep in mind that if the dog actually has clinical anxiety, we're going to need to find a way to try to help it manage that. And, you know, it's a little bit like asking a person who's got severe depression to just, you know, just get up in the morning and just deal with life. It doesn't really work that way. So I would encourage your friend to have a chat with their veterinarian again and sort of discuss that. There are some good force-free trainers around in the area. Some of them, so we're usually looking for somebody who's Delta dog trained, and some of them are actually quite good at behavioral assessment as well. And to be quite honest, some of us GP vets are maybe not as good as, you know, at looking at a dog and going, well, have we just got a dog who's, you know, got a lack of training, or have we got a dog who's got a real situational anxiety problem? But again, lots of different veterinary behaviorists in our areas that, you know, I can even probably provide you some names and resources for, so that the dog gets a proper behavioral assessment, so that we can then help your friend to try to make this problem work. Because I can totally see she's going to want her little companion around, but it's not quite as simple as just saying, you know, that you're going to need to do step A, B, C, and that's going to fix the problem here in this situation. So if you want, I can see your number here, and I will pass on some details for some vet behaviorists and positive reinforcement trainers for you, if you'd like. Okay.
I think that'd be good.
I'll send you a message, or get the studio to send you a message after the show.
Michelle, you've got a 6-month-old kitten, and it's vomiting and has diarrhea after meals.
Yes. Kimberly, a friend has acquired this kitten at 6+ months old, and not all the time, but it has vomited and it's currently got diarrhea.
Okay.
She tries to give it kitten food, but it's not always available at the supermarket.
Okay, sure. So six. How long has your friend had the kitten for?
Oh,
roughly?
Almost a week.
Okay, so it's very new. Okay, so first of all, lots of stress, lots of new things happening, okay? Don't panic about that. Anytime we do a sudden food change, you know, we can have some tummy upset. So depending on where she got it from, sometimes it's helpful to go back to the person who had it previously and say, what were you feeding it? I'm just going to keep it, you know, really similar on the food.
No. Okay. Left behind when they moved.
Yeah. Okay, so we want to make sure, first of all, that the kitten has been adequately wormed and had an adequate worming treatment. That's really, really important, okay, particularly if it's, you know, an abandonment situation. It may not have had any major issues. Always worthwhile taking it up to a vet, you know, having them check it out, make sure there isn't anything really obvious, that the kitten's not dehydrated, that sort of thing. And then they will probably recommend just some bland food. So a small amount of a dry kitten food and a couple small meals of a relatively bland wet food, you know, twice a day usually is what we're going to probably recommend. At 6 months old, assuming the kitten has grown a normal amount, that it's not a stunted, underweight kitten, most of its growing will be done at that point. So it's probably not the end of the world if it's not on a kitten food. But what we really probably want is to just be very consistent with what we're feeding. We want, until this kitten's stomach and intestinal issues have sort of sorted out, we don't want to be chopping and changing a lot of different sort of things, okay? And remembering that with pet food, a lot of times, to a certain degree, you get what you pay for. So if we're buying the cheapest food on the shelf, there's going to be a lot of fillers, a lot of extra stuff in there that's not necessarily helping the cat nutritionally. And the kitten will probably need to eat more to get the same amount of calories. If we're using a food that's a little bit dearer, we're probably going to find it's going to be a bit better quality, have a little bit more nutritional impact. So they often don't have to eat quite as much to get the same sort of bang for your buck. So there are products that we can use, probiotics and things like that, that are specifically made for cats and dogs that can help if they do have a bit of an upset tummy. But it wouldn't really surprise me, you know, if she's only had it for maybe a week or 10 days, if we're still just dealing with a little bit of a an adjustment sort of phase. Is the kitten using the litter box? Using a litter box for its toileting? Yeah, great. Okay, so that's good. Diarrhea, you know, if the kitten's bright and happy and eating and has a bit of diarrhea, we're not super worried about that, providing it is still bright and happy. If we're getting really regular vomiting, that's a little bit more of a concern. So an odd vomit here or there in a new home situation, I'm not going to panic about. But if we're getting regular vomiting every day, every second or third day, and that's going on for more than sort of 5 to 7 days, we definitely want to get that kitten looked at by a veterinarian, okay?
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Michelle.
To a new RFM, this is Pet Chat. And don't forget, if you give us a call now, you can go into the draw to win a $50 gift voucher thanks to Dozer & Co. at Katara. Just like Jody from Cole Point has done, she has a 9-month-old rescue cat that has a little bit of blood in her stool.
I am. Hello.
Hi. Hello. What's going on?
Hi. Well, yeah, we have this beautiful rescue cat my 14-year-old daughter has. She's been having a bit of blood in her stools intermittently. Mm-hmm. She's really healthy. She's well. She eats well. She's loved. Her stools are regular. She's no diarrhea. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have, and she's not constipated. Everything about her seems perfectly great, except for this and it's only a minor amount of red blood in her stools, like I said, every couple of days. But of course, my 14-year-old is so
panicking about it. Yep.
Got to rush to the vets.
Yeah.
So I must say, when we did get her as a kitty, they did say that she had really bad diarrhea and they didn't think she'd make it and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just wondering, hopefully she doesn't have anything underlying giving her any grief.
And listen, I mean, a little bit of blood in the stool is not a major drama if it's nice, you know, frank blood and you're only getting it intermittently. Sometimes it can be just that there's a little bit of, you know, sort of subclinical constipation, even though she's getting the stools out. If things are a little bit firm or dry, you might get a little bit of irritation just in the colon wall or in the anus as things are passing through. And the easiest thing I would do with that is just see about adding a little, you know, sort of quarter to half a teaspoon of Metamucil into her food once a day for, you know, a week or 10 days and just see if that makes a difference. It might soften things up a little bit. Sometimes cats will eat a little bit of cooked pumpkin mixed into a bit of their food as well instead of the Metamucil, and that just to add a little bit of extra fiber. That's going to draw a bit of extra water into the colon and make things a little bit more moist in there as well. Sometimes if your cat is eating predominantly dry food, sometimes just increasing the proportion of wet food that they have access to or even putting a bit of water on top of a portion of their kibble can be beneficial because, you know, we used to think that cats who ate predominantly dry food would just drink more water to stay more hydrated. But actually, that's not actually what cats do. And so we actually know now that cats who eat predominantly dry food compared to cats who eat a larger proportion of wet food, they actually are in a state of sort of subclinical, very minor dehydration, even as healthy cats. So making sure that we're getting enough fluids into some of our pet cats is really important. So that's what I would start. Just make sure that she has been wormed relatively recently. But chances are it's just a little bit of irritation of the lining of the back end of the gut, of the bowel. And that's always going to be less of a problem, you know, than a digested, you know, sort of blood that we see, which is going to be much higher up. So tell your daughter not to worry about it and just play around with her diet a little bit. See if we can add a bit more fiber and a bit more moisture there.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. No worries. Thanks.
Thanks, Jody. All right. We've got Patricia from Doyleson on the line. She has a cat that's not covering up her poo. You there, Patricia?
Hello, yes, she's very naughty. And then because she lives in the bathroom at night time,
yep.
If she goes to the bathroom, she'll meow and meow because she can't stand her own smell.
So. Mm, yeah. So she's getting to be a bit of an older cat now, right? So all the things that we start thinking about with older cats and changes of toileting habits, a lot of it has to do with arthritis. You know, are they maybe not as able to, you know, do that pawing motion to cover things up? They're not as comfortable. If it's happening predominantly at night, you know, the air is cooler, the muscles and joints are a bit stiffer. So doing the things that we can do to try to help with the arthritis, keeping her warm, and maybe seeing your vet about arthritis supplements, those sorts of things can be really helpful. Sometimes cats who are older will lose the ability to retract their claws in, and so then they start to develop they don't like the feel of the litter on their feet, and so making sure that her nails are trimmed can be helpful in some cases. So it's definitely worthwhile, you know, having her checked out by your local vet and just making sure that there's nothing that's starting to contribute to that. And we do see dementia in older cats sometimes as well. And one of the, it's a little bit less well classified in cats than it is in dogs, but changes in toileting behaviors are sort of like the hallmark of that. They're one of the things that we see most commonly. And so it's cats who, you know, for whatever reason, stop liking the kind of litter that they're getting, or they can't get into the litter box, or they just don't recognize that, you know, we've had cats who people say they just started to toilet beside the litter box. So no where the litter box is, but instead of getting in, you know, just does it beside. So we can see some of those, you know, sort of changes in older life. And 12 is not ancient for a cat, but it's certainly into those senior years. So it's worthwhile having those sorts of things checked up. And it may require a change, testing out a different kind of litter, because there may be something that the cat has started to associate, you know, in that litter, that particular litter type that you're using is not comfortable for them or something along those lines. So once they've been checked out, then you may need to experiment with a few different types of kitty litter.
So we've got Sam on the line. He's got some information to give us. Hello, Sam, are you there?
Oh, good morning. Sorry to be so late with it, but I just walked into the house after a surf. But I heard that lady's having some trouble with a cat bearing its business.
Mm-hmm.
My girl has a brand new cat, and we had one. We started with a clumping one. It's made of diatomaceous earth. That's earth from like really sort of clay, sandy, silty stuff from the bottom of the ocean.
Yep.
Extremely heavy to pick up, so cancelled his gym membership. And then my daughter said, why don't you try the tofu type that I use for my cat? Tofu, I don't know a great deal about it, except I hate the taste of it. It must come as a husk with a husk on the outside, like a wheat husk.
Mm-hmm.
So that's shelled off, and the tofu interior is used. But they make a cat litter out of this.
Right.
Now, it's a clumping litter. It doesn't smell. It has the beautiful perfume odor, they must add, but very, very, very slight. But it doesn't smell. The cat's gone from one to the other. Normally, when you're swapping them over, there's a little bit of a drama. But it just went from that to that, and it's been fantastic. And clumps up, and, you know, it just works like a charm.
Great.
I don't know the brand, unfortunately, but if you went along to a pet store and said, I want the one made from tofu, they'll know exactly what you're talking about. And it's online as well, of course.
Thanks, Sam. We appreciate your call. All right, we've got to get on to the dog and cat of the week. We'll have to be quick. We've got Tom Tom and Pat. They are two little kittens, one-year-old brothers, and they're looking for their forever homes.
And these guys, they're looking for them to go together. So we've got a nice little black cat and a black and white cat. 1-year-old brothers, they're wanting them to go together. So if you're looking for a pair of young cats, you can check them out on the website.
That's right. Okay. And we've got Ronnie. He's a 1-year-old cavoodle.
So this little guy he's a 1-year-old cavoodle, lovely little guy, pretty young, and it looks like he's still in the training. You know, it says his toilet training is coming along. He's still a bit mouthy, loves sinking his teeth into tasty treats and playing fetch in the backyard. So we're not sure what his background is, but obviously he needs to have a family environment where he's going to be able to get out and get some exercise, somebody who's interested in doing some training with him. It does say that he is dog friendly, and he would love to have a canine companion in the house as well. So if you're looking to add another dog, consider little Ronnie.
Just head to tonurfm.com.au. Now, we've got to be quick. We're going to announce our winner for the draw, the $50 gift voucher for Dozer and Co. Katara. Who are we going to give it to today, ladies?
I think that was Mark with the question about the dental and plaque issues with his little doggy.
Congratulations, Mark from New Lambton. We'll get in touch with you. And that is it for Pet Chat. It has been wonderful.
Thank you. Nice
My
to see you.
My first one. Nice to see you.
Well
too.
Done.
Thank you
very much. We'll see you again next week on 2NURFM.